And now we're pleased to bring you Father Robert Young.
Everyone, welcome again, and thank you for listening today. This first Saturday in the month of May, as we all know, the month dedicated to our Blessed Mother in a very special way. And today we also commemorate a great doctor of the Church, St. Athanasius, called the Doctor of the Incarnation. So we want to ask his help and his intercession in a special way. St. Joseph, whom we celebrated yesterday, is patron of workers, and our Blessed Mother. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Immaculate Queen, our Celestial Mother, we come upon your maternal knees as your dear children to abandon ourselves in your arms, to beg of you with our most ardent sighs, the greatest grace of all, that you will admit us to live in the kingdom of the divine will. Holy Mother, you who are Queen of this kingdom, admit us as your children to live in it, so that it no longer be deserted but populated with your children. We entrust ourselves to you, our Sovereign Queen, so that you may guide our steps into the kingdom of the divine will, and held tightly by your maternal hand, you will guide all of our beings so that we may live perennial life in the divine will. You will be a mother to us, and because of this we shall consign our wills to you, so that you may exchange them for us with the divine will. In this way, we can be sure of never going out of its kingdom. Therefore, we beg you, Heavenly Mother, to illuminate us, enlighten us, to make us understand what will of God means. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. Well, that beautiful prayer was written by Luisa Picaretta, woman who died in 1947, whom our Lord called the Little Daughter of the Divine Will because he had some very special teachings to give her that in turn he wanted her to pass on to us. One of the ways that our Lord did that, and our Blessed Mother as well, was by giving to Luisa a very beautiful understanding of how Mary, the Queen of the Divine Will, our Blessed Mother, how she came to be given this gift of living in the Divine Will, and how she wants to give it to us. And so our Blessed Mother came for every day in the month of May, somewhere around the year 1931, 1932. And she would give to Luisa each day a beautiful lesson on how to live. First of all, about how she lived herself, and then how she's inviting Luisa and all of her children to live this great gift of the divine will. The book is called The Virgin Mary in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. Her confessor at the time, Don Benedetto Calvi, asked Luisa if he could publish it, and of course he did. And so he published several editions of this book, and it quickly became diffused throughout the world. It quickly became one of the most popular books dedicated to our Blessed Mother and about her that was being circulated at the time in Italy and even beyond Italy. So it's a very beautiful gift that God's given us, and it's a very practical way for us to learn how to live in the divine will. As we studied meditated on the hours of the Passion in the month of Lent, in the time of Lent, we saw how one of the ways God calls us to do that is through bearing our cross and suffering with him in the divine will. Here in the Virgin Mary book, he gives us, and Mary gives us, another way, which is to imitate our Blessed Mother in the way that she lived this continuous life of putting her will aside so that the divine will could reign through her. And so we are not conceived immaculately with the Immaculate Conception as she was, and neither was Luisa. But he still calls us to live this gift in our own way, uniquely and individually in our lives, so that we can hasten the coming of his kingdom. So before we begin to read from this wonderful work, I wanted to address a question that came to us during the week by one of the listeners, and it's a very good question. Someone wrote and said, Father, I'm up there in years, and I have a little trouble sometimes retaining things and learning, gaining more knowledge of the divine will, and I realize, she says, how important it is to grow in knowledge if I'm going to live in the divine will, but I'm limited in what I can do and how I'm able to pay attention. Does that mean I'm not able to live this gift? And it's a very good question because, you know, each and every one of us has our own limitations in whether it's in learning or being able to focus attentively or being able to remember throughout the day. We're all human. But it seems to me that when Jesus calls us to this gift, he also calls us to live it according to our gifts, but also according to our limitations. And so if one of our limitations is the way we learn and growing in knowledge, then we don't be concerned about that. That's God's will for us at this moment. As long as we're applying ourselves and doing the best we can to grow in the knowledge. And so what we want to do then is, and this was my suggestion to this person, that rather than trying to read a lot at one time, read very little. You can read even only a sentence or two, I think, and still gain a tremendous amount of knowledge of how to live in the divine will, because every word is full of light and consolation, as St. Hannibal said. And it's every word enlightens us the way that God wants us to be enlightened. So we don't worry about the quantity of our reading or of our knowledge, because all of the knowledge is contained in every passage. And so we don't concern ourselves with that. We just do the best we can. Jesus also says that he will make up for what we lack if it's our desire to live in his will. So the Holy Spirit, whom we possess already in our souls, is going to help us in this and is going to teach us, perhaps even if we can't read, maybe our eyesight is failing and we can't read as much as we'd like to, or maybe we can't read at all. God will use whatever is available to us to bring us this gift, because what really matters is the desire and the love we have for him and for the reign of his kingdom. So we thank those who are submitting questions. It's a great help to us to make it hopefully a little more clear, a little more understandable to our listeners. So again, if you have any questions, we invite you to send them to divinewillquestions@gmail.com. It's a email address, divinewillquestions@gmail.com. So this morning, as we begin, I'd like to share a little letter that Louisa wrote. Louisa wrote quite a few letters during her life, and a good number of them were written to one individual, and his name is Federico Abresh. He was a great friend of Padre Pio. In fact, he was converted to the Catholicism by Padre Pio. And Padre Pio Federico would go to visit Padre Pio often in San Giovanni, which was only an hour or so away from Louisa's hometown. And he would sometimes bring messages back and forth from Louisa to Padre Pio and vice versa. So they both knew each other and about each other, but they never communicated directly, except through Federico or perhaps a few other individuals who knew both of them. So Federico, in fact, became so enchanted with the divine will that he asked Padre Pio if he should publish these writings and if he could start a group of the divine will there in San Giovanni. And Padre Pio said, absolutely, you must do so. And he gave him this blessing. And so this letter is written to Federico. We don't have the year written on this letter, but sometime during Louisa's life. And her letters I like to read because they're so encouraging. They're very tender, very human, very loving. We get insights perhaps more into Louisa as a person through her letters. So I'm going to read this letter, which is documented as letter number 6. She always begins, Fiat in the will of God. Dearest child in the divine volition, with all my heart, I thank the Lord, and I thank him also for the divine will. What a grace, what an honor for you, and what great happiness you will give to our Lord and to our Heavenly Mother. You will be the light of the Blessed Mother's eye. To care for you and reassure you, she will carry you in her arms. So I beg of you, heed her beautiful lessons, study them, and you will see little by little that the great lady will abide in your spirit, placing in its center the Son of the Divine Fiat, not as an appendage or something to suppress you, but as a vibrant life in all of your acts. Moreover, just as you feel breathing, your heartbeat, and warmth, this is how you will feel the life of the divine will. This life is already in us, breathing our very breath, beating in our heart, warming us and moving in all of our movements. However, we do not pay the least attention to this life, so it may seem difficult to us to live in its volition. Nevertheless, now we are going to pay attention, and then we will feel this life in all of our being. Furthermore, full of love, this divine will says to us, contemplate, it is I who beat in your heart, and you in me. It is I who speak, and who thinks, and who loves you, so that not even in the least moment do I leave you alone. Rather, it is I who moves in you, and you do not leave me alone. Speak and think and love in me. Oh, what a happy life. The creature in the divine will and the divine will in the creature, forming one single life. How I would like to thrust a child into the divine will so as to give him to my Heavenly Mother as a triumph and the greatest victory for her maternal heart. You shall now be a very dear child for me. And I beg of you that you don't lose heart if you do not completely understand this mystery of living in the divine will. For you will do it little by little if you manage to pay attention to it, especially knowing that holiness does not fly. Rather, it walks little by little. And so you need courage and trust and the goodwill to do it. The rest comes by itself. Now, my dearest in Christ Jesus, what I say to you is also for your dear wife and the little child, little Pio. Build yourselves a heavenly family on earth and yield everything to the divine will. Invoke it in all that you do. Acknowledge the divine will as the author of all. We live in it, but it is difficult to recognize, and thus we often set it aside. How many tears are shed because the divine will feels isolated from us. I commend myself to your prayers, leaving you in the holy divine volition and the arms of the Queen of Heaven. I remain most affectionately the little daughter of the divine will. P.S. Try to promote the book of the Queen of Heaven. The great lady wants to go about making visits in order to build up the people of the divine will, so make her happy. Beautiful letter from Louisa to one of her converts, if you will, one of her children in the divine will, Federico, who had a very important role to play in bringing this great gift to the world through his obedience to Padre Pio with Padre Pio's blessing. So there's just one point I want to highlight in the letter that I think is so important. We talked about it last week as well, where she says that this life of the divine will is already in us. Sometimes when we think about it or we hear it spoken of, it may sound like it's something that's, you know, just brand new that God's going to now put inside of us. No, it's already there. We're already in it. He says it's already breathing in us, beating in our hearts. But he says the problem is we don't pay attention to it. We don't know that it's there. And so the gift of this divine will is really the gift of knowing about it, coming to know how God gave it to Adam and Eve in the beginning, how it was restored in Jesus and Mary, and how now it's coming to its completion and fulfillment in all of us who are called to be children of the divine will and to live in that kingdom. So the letters of Louisa, I think, are encouraging not only to those that she wrote to, as St. Paul's, are encouraging also to us, but I think they're a great help to us to know that God really wants us to receive it. And she says, don't be discouraged if you are learning slowly. We're all slow learners. I often tell people I had to read for 3 years before it really sunk in. But somehow the Holy Spirit kept me going and helped me to gain it little by little. So let's just be faithful to it and attentive, as he says, and not be discouraged if our learning process is not as fast as we'd like it to be. So Louisa says, we don't fly into holiness, we walk little by little. So we need courage and trust and goodwill to do it. The rest will come by itself. So now, brothers and sisters, for this month of May, we're going to be reading from this beautiful volume, The Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. It has gone through many editions now until our own day. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to find right now. It's out of print. But we hope that by listening to it here on Radio Maria in this month of May, and especially on this first Saturday, that somehow God will plant in you the seeds to know, to love, and possess this gift as Mary did. And our Blessed Mother, in a special way, will bless you with deeper understanding, deeper knowledge, deeper love for her Son and for the way he came to bring us this reign of the divine will. So this morning we're going to start with what's called the maternal appeal to live in the kingdom of the divine will. This was kind of dictated to Louisa as well by our Blessed Mother. There are three appeals. One is written by Louisa, and it's the words of God the Father, which Father Duane quoted from 2 weeks ago. Beautiful appeal of our Heavenly Father for us to live in the kingdom of His will. A third one is written by Louisa herself, and the second one is the words of Mary, the Queen of Heaven, as her appeal to each one of us to come into this kingdom of the divine will. So this morning, Barbara's going to begin by reading this appeal of the Queen of Heaven to come into the kingdom of the divine will.
My dearest child, I feel the irresistible need to come down from heaven to make my motherly visits to you. If you will promise to give me your love as a true child of mine and assure me of being faithful to me, I will always be with you, hidden in your soul, to be your teacher, your model, your example, and your most tender mother. I come from heaven inviting you to enter into the kingdom of your mother, that is, into the kingdom of the divine will. I am knocking at the door of your heart because I want you to open it to me. Do you realize that it is with my own hands that I am bringing you this book as a gift? I am offering it to you with a mother's care so that you, in your turn, upon reading it, will learn to live the way of heaven and no longer that of earth. This book is of gold, my child. It will become your spiritual fortune and your happiness even here while you are on earth. In it you will find the fountain of all goods. If you are weak, you will acquire strength. If you are tempted, you will conquer the temptations that come to you. If you have fallen into sin, you will feel a powerful and compassionate hand to lift you up. If you are afflicted, you will find comfort. And if you are cold, you will be given the sure means to warm yourself. If you become hungry, you will taste the exquisite food of the divine will, and with it, nothing will ever be lacking in you. You will never be alone, because your mother will be your sweet companion. And with every maternal care, I will fulfill my pledge of making you happy. I, who am the celestial empress, will take care of your every need, if only you will consent to live united to me. If you only knew my yearnings, my ardent sighs, and even the tears I shed for my children. If you only knew how I burn with desire for you to listen to my lessons, all of heaven, and learn the way of living in the divine will. In this book, you will discover marvel. You will find a mother who loves you so much as to sacrifice her beloved son for you so that you can live the same life that she lived upon the earth. Oh, do not make me sad. Do not reject me. Accept this gift from heaven, which I am bringing to you, and welcome my visits and my lessons. Know that I will journey throughout the entire world. I will go to every individual, to every family, and to the religious communities. I will be traveling through every nation, to every class of people. And if necessary, I will continue going around for centuries until I have formed my people around me as their queen. And as mother, I have formed my children who will know the divine will and let it reign everywhere. Now I have explained to you the purpose of this book. Those who will welcome it with love will be the first fortunate children to belong to the kingdom of the divine fiat. And I will write their names in my maternal heart with letters of gold. Do you see, my child, that same infinite love of God which wanted to make use of me in the redemption for the descent of the eternal word upon the earth, calls me once again into the field and entrusts to me the arduous duty, the sublime mandate of forming upon the earth the children of the kingdom of the divine will. Therefore, with all the care and kindness of a mother, I undertake the task of preparing the way for you to follow into this happy kingdom. For this very purpose, I will give you sublime and celestial lessons. And finally, I will teach you new and special prayers by which you will engage the heavens, the sun, the creation, my own life and that of my son, as well as all the acts of the saints, so that in your name they will beseech God to establish the adorable reign of the divine will. These prayers are the most powerful because they call upon the divine action itself. By means of them, God will feel disarmed and won over by his creature. Strengthened by this support, you will hasten the advent of his most happy kingdom. And with me, you will obtain that the divine will be done on earth as in heaven, according to the desire of the divine master. Be of good cheer, my child. Bring me this contentment, and I will bless you.
Thank you, Barbara. That is the appeal of the Queen of Heaven for each one of us to come into this kingdom of the divine will. Excuse me, just as she appealed to Louisa in her time. And we're told that, excuse me, in the month of May, the Virgin Mary came from heaven to sit at the foot of Louisa's bed and teach her these lessons herself. And so as our Blessed Mother traveled, she says, I'll be traveling through every nation, to every class of people. And if necessary, she says, I will go around for centuries until I have formed my children around me as their queen. And as mother, I have formed my children who will know the divine will and let it reign everywhere. We might ask, as Louisa did many times, Lord, why have you chosen me? Why would you want me to have this incredible gift, this extraordinary blessing and grace of knowing the divine will and coming into it? Well, probably the best answer is you don't need to know. The answer is, it's God's choice, it's God's election. God who chooses us through Mary to be children of the divine will. Our part, as Jesus reminds Louisa, is not to ask why. Our part is to say fiat, to give our yes, our surrender, our acceptance of God's will in our lives as best we can. And so our Blessed Mother did that in her life, and as Jesus explains many times in different ways, that Mary is in many ways the best example for us of a creature, because she never did her own will. She only did the will of God. So at the Incarnation, when the seed of God came to be conceived in her womb through the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary gave her yes, and at that moment, the very Word of God descended from heaven to live in her womb. And Jesus says to Louisa, the only reason that was possible was because in Mary he found the heaven of the divine will in which he could be conceived, in which he could dwell. And without that heaven of the divine will, Jesus says, I could have never come to earth. But he says, now I want to form that heaven in you. I want you to be the dwelling place of the divine will. And so we are not, again, conceived immaculately, but he's given us the wonderful knowledge, the gift of our minds and intellects to appreciate this knowledge, so that by our response of desire and surrender and saying fiat in love, we too can, like Mary, be the place where Jesus becomes incarnate. We can be the place where the Word of God becomes flesh, as he does every day in the Eucharist. He says, now you too can be a host, a living host of my presence, of my incarnation. And so what an amazing gift it is. And he says, you know, if I would do that in inanimate objects of bread and wine, certainly it makes even more sense that I would want to do it in my own children, in the living bodies and souls of my children, of God's children. And so Mary is the first, in a sense, the first creature in whom this gift of the divine will is restored. Now, why do we say it's restored? Because, as Father Duane explained to us a couple of weeks ago, the gift is not new on earth. It was given first to Adam, when God the Creator, the Father, blew his breath into that formless, into that statue, if you will, that he had formed of man. He gave him his own divine life, which contained the very substance of his being, which is his divine will. But as we know, Adam and Eve lost it in the garden. But now, oh, happy fault, it's come to us again through the incarnation of Jesus himself and the acts of his life, death, and resurrection. And through Mary, Jesus has brought this gift back to the world. Remember again, as St. Louis de Montfort says many times, he says, God chose to come to us through a woman, and so it's through a woman that we will return to God. So Mary, who is the mother, the queen of the divine will, is inviting us here in this beautiful appeal to accept her invitation, to accept her motherhood, her queenship over us, and to seek to live once again in this reign, this kingdom of God's will that he came, Jesus came to restore on earth. So let us reflect for a few minutes in silence as we listen to some meditation music now, and to once again make our own fiat. You know, with Mary, we have to make that fiat every day, sometimes many times a day, in order to truly accept the gifts that God wants to give us. Why? Because, as we heard last week, the shadow of our own human will gets in the way. Let us ask the Holy Spirit, Mary, who is the spouse of the Holy Spirit, to help us put aside that shadow, to lay our souls down, so that the light of the divine will can come to reign and live in us. reading today from the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And Joe is going to read now for us day one, which is the first day of the month in which Mary came to Louisa, first day of May, to begin these beautiful lessons. And this day one is called The Queen of Heaven and the Kingdom of the Divine Will, the first step of the Divine Will in the Immaculate Conception of our Heavenly Mother. So Joe is going to begin now, day one.
The soul to the Immaculate Queen. O sweetest Mother, here I am, prostrate before you. Today is the first day of the month of May, consecrated to you, in which all your children want to offer you their little flowers as tokens of their love for you, and to beseech you to bestow their love, your love upon them. I see you as you descend from the celestial fatherland, accompanied by choirs of angels, to receive the beautiful roses, the humble violets, the chaste lilies of your children. And in return, you give them smiles of love, your thanks and blessings. Then pressing the gifts of your children to your maternal heart, you carry them to heaven, to cherish them as pledges and garlands to be reserved for them at the moment of their death. Heavenly Mother, in the midst of so many, I, who am the smallest, the most needy of your children, want to climb into your maternal lap to bring you not flowers and roses, but a son each day. But the mother must help her child, giving me your lessons of heaven, teaching me how to form these divine sons in order to give you the most beautiful homage and purest love. Dear Mother, you have understood the desires of your child. I want to be taught by you to live in the divine will, and transforming my acts and all myself in the divine will according to your teachings. Every day I will bring to your maternal lap all my acts changed into sons. Lesson of the Queen of Heaven. Blessed child, your prayer has wounded my maternal heart, drawing me down from heaven, and I am already beside my child to give her my lessons, all of heaven. Look at me, dear child. Thousands of angels surround me, and all are reverently in expectation to hear me speak of that divine fiat of which, more than all, I possess the fountain. I know its admirable secrets, its infinite joys, its indescribable happiness, and its incalculable value. To hear my child call me because she wants my lessons on the divine will is for me the happiest of occasions, the purest joy. If you will listen to my lessons, I will consider myself fortunate to be your mother. Oh, how I long to have a child who wants to live all on divine will. Tell me, O child, will you content me? Will you place your heart, your will, all your being into my maternal hands so that I may prepare you, dispose you, fortify you, and empty you of everything in such a way that you may completely fill yourself with the light of the divine will, and it can form in you its divine life. Then rest your head upon the heart of your Heavenly Mother and be attentive and listen to me, so that my sublime lessons may make you decide to never do your own will, but always that of God.
Thank you, Joe. So we can see that already there is a structure, if you will, to these lessons, that first the soul speaks to Mary as an invitation. So Louisa, the soul of Louisa here, is speaking to our Blessed Mother and telling her of her love for her and wanting to honor her in the month of May. And she says that she sees our Blessed Mother ready to come down to descend from heaven, accompanied by choirs of angels to receive all of the beautiful flowers that her children want to offer her in this month of May. And then in return, she says, you give them your thanks and blessings, your smiles of love. And then taking these gifts to her heart, she carries them to heaven. So the structure is that first the soul speaks to Mary, and then Mary responds to this desire of the soul, that Mary herself comes then to descend from heaven to teach Louisa these beautiful lessons. And so she says, "See, I come down from heaven surrounded by thousands of angels." And so the great desire of Mary's heart, it is the desire of the heart of Jesus, is to have many children who will live in this kingdom. Of course, God's will is that every person who has ever lived would live in the kingdom of God's will. But of course, because we're free, not everyone chooses to accept that invitation and to live their lives according to the will of God. So Mary says that she's inviting us to place our hearts and our wills and our whole being into her motherly hands. She says, "I will then be the one to prepare you, to dispose you, to strengthen you, and to empty you of everything else in such a way that you may completely fill yourself with the light of the divine will." So what Our Lady's saying there to Louisa, I believe she wants to say to you, to me, and all of us today, and to every soul, is that she was given the great mission, the great vocation in life, to prepare her children for the coming of Christ, the coming of the will of God on earth. That was her mission, if you will, to bring Christ to the world. And so she's telling us that she can also be the one to prepare us to receive him, because she knew better than any creature, because of her Immaculate Conception and the gift of the divine will in her, how to do that. So she says, "I will be the one to prepare you." At another time, Mary will tell Louisa that she has gone all over the world looking for souls who are ready and disposed and prepared to receive this gift. She says that is her mission in the world. And so she has found you, she's found me, because otherwise we would not have the knowledge of this great gift. We would not be called to it if it were not for our Blessed Mother. You know, so often when I'm introducing this to people, I find that many of the people who are open to receive this gift, in fact, I would probably say all of them, have a great love for Mary, a great love for our Blessed Mother, because she is the one who chooses and prepares us for this gift. And so while the Holy Spirit, of course, is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, is the power that the wisdom, the love that allows us to receive the gift and the source of the gift, it's Mary in her own littleness and her humility who comes to teach us and prepare us to receive it. So that simply means that we have to be close to our Heavenly Mother. We have to trust her and come to her. As she says, "Rest your head on my heart and be attentive and listen. Listen to her lesson." So often Mary's come to earth and very few people want to listen to her, her messages or her words. So I believe that we who are listening today who love Mary are devotees of her motherhood and her queenship, that we know her power before God. We know the power of the divine will in her. And again, you know, some people would say, "Well, why do we have to honor Mary? She's only a creature." Well, because she is the creature in whom God chose to return to live in the kingdom, the reign of his will. And so the Immaculate Conception is not just a negative term meaning Mary had no sin at conception. It means that in the place of that original sin, Mary had the original grace. That is the first grace, the greatest grace, which was given to mankind, which was the indwelling and the mutual indwelling of the kingdom of the divine will. So that's the gift that is restored in Mary, and it's the gift that God is now bringing to its fulfillment and completion through Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, and through each and every one of us. So Sherry's now going to continue reading for us from day one, the lesson of the Queen of Heaven.
"My child, listen to me. It is my maternal heart that loves you so much and which wants to pour itself upon you. Know that I have you here, written in my heart, and I love you as my true child. Yet I feel a pain in my heart because I do not see you similar to your mother. But do you know what makes us dissimilar? Alas, it is your will which takes away from you the freshness of grace, the beauty that enamors your Creator, the strength that conquers and withstands all, the love which consumes everything. In sum, it is not that will which animates your celestial mother. You must know that I knew my human will only to hold it sacrificed in homage to my Creator. My life was all of divine will. From the first instant of my conception, I was formed, warmed, and placed in its light, which, with its power, purified my human seed in a manner that I was conceived without original stain. Therefore, if my conception was without stain and so glorious as to form the honor of the divine family, it was because the omnipotent fiat flowed over my seed, and pure and holy I was conceived. Thus, if the divine volition would not have flowed over my seed, more than a tender mother, to impede the effects of original sin, I would have encountered the sad lot of other creatures, of being conceived with original sin. Therefore, the primary cause was, above all, the divine will. To it be the honor, the glory, the thanksgiving of my having been conceived without original stain. Now, child of my heart, listen to your mother. Put aside your human will. Be content to die rather than concede it one act of life. Your heavenly mother would rather die thousands and thousands of times than do a single act of my own will. Do you not want to imitate me then? If you will keep it sacrificed in honor of your Creator, the divine volition will take its first step in your soul, and you will feel yourself formed with a heavenly aura, purified and warmed in such a way as to feel the seeds of your passions annihilated. You will feel yourself placed upon the first steps of the kingdom of the divine will. Therefore, be attentive. If you will be faithful to me and listen to me, I will guide you. I will take you by your hand into the interminable ways of the divine fiat. I will keep you defended under my blue mantle, and you will be my honor, my glory, and my victory.
Thank you, Sherry. So Mary there says it much more beautifully than I did, that the meaning of her conception without stain, as she says, was all about the divine will. She says the primary cause was above all the divine will. That is the reign of God's will coming to earth once again. And so what Mary has received, and really if you think about it, what did Mary do to deserve this? Nothing. This was all done by God. It's God's complete and total gift to her and to humanity through her. And we can say the same is true about us. What have we done to deserve redemption or sanctification? What have we done even to deserve to be created? We're simply here by God's free gift. But he's also given in us a gift itself, which is the gift of our human will as the likeness of his own divine will. But because we know that human will has been wounded and corrupted by sin, both from Adam and Eve, but also in ourselves by our own acts, then he says, I've given you a remedy for that by my divine will coming back to reign on earth. And it's not just a remedy to, in a sense, restore your human will to grace. But he says the remedy is going to go far beyond that, and it's going to restore the whole reign and victory of the divine will in everything you do. And so again, it's Mary who calls us to receive it as she did. But she says there is something we must do in order for that to happen, because again, we're not robots, we're not slaves, we are free. And because of the freedom of our will, we must choose. As in everything in our lives, everything must be chosen by our own human disposition and our own human will. Of course, God's grace helps us to make those choices, but in the end, we are free. And so whether we accept or reject God's will is really up to us. So that's why Mary says, put aside your human will. She says, be content to die rather than conceded one act of life. Now, at the same time, we have to say the human will is part of our nature. It's who we are. In fact, it's probably our greatest gift, because the will is the source of love. We cannot love without a will. And so our human will is a tremendous gift of God. We don't want to deny it. We don't want to be ungrateful for it. But at the same time, what Mary, I think, is saying to us is that we don't want to live by our human will choosing for itself what it wants, but rather always in every act choosing instead what God wants, and not just to do it, but to ask the divine will to do it in us, to accomplish God's will through us in every act of our lives. And so this is precisely what Mary did perfectly, and we know she's the only one who did it perfectly. We won't do it perfectly. We're not capable, because we're born with sin. But because Mary was not, she had the capacity and still the freedom to sacrifice her will at every moment in everything she did to say fiat. That is the same act that God is asking of us, the same sacrifice. Mary says, don't you want to imitate me? And like Louisa, we can say, yes, I want to, but I'm so weak, I'm so human, I'm so frail. How can I possibly imitate you? And so I think Mary would say to us, don't worry, I will help you. And remember that it was not Mary alone who could accomplish this, but above all, the divine will acting her. And so it's the divine will acting in us, too, that will accomplish it, but always through our freedom, always through our own of surrendering ourselves to the divine will. Now, at the end of each day that Mary has given these lessons to Louisa during the month of May, there is Mary would give her also a little, some prayers, three prayers. One that the soul would say, and it's kind of just the soul's response again to the lesson of Mary. Secondly, she would give her a little flower. That is, as Mary loves to receive the flowers of her children in May, she gave Louisa something that she could do that day as a flower to honor her. And thirdly, she gave her a very short exclamation, something that we could remember perhaps to say throughout the day. So for the first day, the soul's response to this lesson is, Louisa wrote, the Immaculate Virgin, take me upon your maternal knees and be a mother to me. With your holy hands, take possession of my will. Purify it, form it, warm it with the touch of your maternal fingers, and teach me to live only on divine will. And so Louisa offers her will to Mary. And of course, knowing that as a mother, she will only use her will, Louisa's will, for her own good and to bring her the kingdom of the divine will. So I would invite you, dear listener today, to think of how can you offer your will to our Blessed Mother, to the heart of Mary? Because we know that she will not keep it for herself, but she will give it to her Son. And in order to do that, she will purify it. She will form it. She will warm it with the touch of her own motherly fingers as she teaches us to live on the divine will. So the soul's response, and hopefully ours will be, perhaps eventually, if not today, to offer our own being, our own souls especially, because that's the source of our lives. It's the spiritual dimension from which our bodies have form and from which our acts are formed, from our soul, that we will give it to Mary. We will invite her to possess it, to purify it, and to give it to Jesus as his own possession for the kingdom of his will. And then the second part of it, the little flower that she teaches Louisa to say, she says, or to do, she says, today to honor me, beginning in the morning and in all your acts, you will place your will into my hands, saying to me, my mother, you yourself offer the sacrifice of my will to my Creator. So it's a little phrase, a little prayer that we can pray throughout the day at different moments to just offer to Mary, ask Mary to receive our will and for Mary to offer it to our Creator or to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit. They're all one God. But to offer our will to God. And in the divine will, of course, we never pray only for ourselves, but we offer this prayer on behalf of all souls of all time. And so all souls had come to accept Mary's invitation to give them their will. And so finally, there is a little exclamation or another short prayer. And Mary says, to say, my mother, enclose the divine will in my soul, so that it may take its prime place and form there its throne and its dwelling. Beautiful prayer, because as you know, what is the gift we receive in baptism? We receive the indwelling of the Holy Trinity in which the divine will reigns. And so that gift was given to each and every one of us in our baptism, strengthened in confirmation, nourished in the Eucharist, restored many times in the sacrament of penance. So the gift of the Holy Trinity is already there. The divine will is already in our souls. But God wants it to be there in a new and deeper way, so that it takes, as this little prayer says, its first place and form its throne, which means it has the power and dominion in us, and that it is always reigning there in our souls. So what we have there in these little prayers is actually a very profound theological teaching. Because in the first one, Louisa's saying, "Mother, my mother Mary, I want to give you my will so that you can give it to the Creator. In other words, so that my will can live in God's will. So that my will dwells in the will of the Eternal Father." And then she's saying also, enclose the divine will in my soul. So what we have are two movements, if you will, of the soul. One is to give our will to God, to live in God, and the other is to have God's will come to dwell and live and reign in us. In the church, we call that that teaching, that doctrine, the mutual indwelling of the Holy Trinity in the soul. Again, it's given in baptism. But we can say, well, then if it's already there, why do I have to keep reminding myself or inviting it to be there? Well, and go back to that maternal appeal where, or from that letter of Louisa, where it says that even though we live in God's will and God's will is in us, we're often unaware. We're often blind to that reality and unattentive to that reality. And so this way of praying reminds us that we are in God's will all the time. And God's will is in us and wants to live and reign in us in an ever more complete and perfect way. And so these prayers, as you see, are not just simple little devotions. They're actually fulfilling our destiny, the destiny of every creature and every person, which is the indwelling of the Trinity and the will of God in us and our living and dwelling in the perfect will of God. And so what an awesome vocation it is. None of us has done anything to deserve it. None of us can ever do anything to earn it. and yet it is God's gift. Again, what our Blessed Mother reminds us to do and what God asks of us is to say yes, to desire it with all our hearts, to love God in return, and to enter each day and every moment and every act into that kingdom of His will. So we hope, dear brothers and sisters, that you'll be able to join us throughout this month of May, on the Saturdays of May, to listen, to continue listening to these messages, these lessons, I should say, of Our Lady. They're not messages in the way that Our Lady has given messages to other visionaries or others who have heard the voice of Mary. These are really lessons, and what we mean by a lesson is that it's a way for us to learn a way of life. It's a way for us to learn to live this great gift of the divine will, which is the greatest of all gifts given the beginning of time and now restored for us as we come closer to the end of time, this fullness of time, which was ushered in by our redemption in the Incarnation. And so next week we'll continue with the lessons of our Blessed Mother to Louisa, inviting us, teaching us, enlightening us how to live the gift of the divine will. So we invite you also, again, if you have any questions, to send them to divinewillquestions@gmail.com. And also, if you would like to share these broadcasts with anyone else, you can find them in archive on our website here. You can find it at divinewilltallahassee.com. That's divinewilltallahassee.com. And so as we conclude our time together today, we just wish you a most blessed and grace-filled month of May, this beautiful springtime for nature, but also a new springtime, a new Pentecost for our souls, for the souls who are called to this great gift of the kingdom of God's will. So may Almighty God bless you now. May He keep you always in the heaven of His will. Through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, may you come to know, love, and possess the will of God in every moment of your lives. May God bless you and keep you always, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.